Welcome to the ProWrestling.net NXT UK review with me, Hayden Gleed, and I'm also joined by my brother to the north, Darren Guttridge.
Am I to the north?
Well, you're king of the north.
King of the north? I'm from the Midlands, so I think I'm east, but I like being king of stuff, that's fine.
But compared to where I am, you're north.
Ooh, some hot scintillating UK geography. That's actually going to play in tonight's episode, so good segue.
Do you see what I'm doing? You know, I'm building the foundations ready for what we're going to talk about. But, of course, we're going to be talking about NXT UK this week. And obviously, with a lot of wrestling going on at the moment, Darren, there's just constant just barrage of different promotions and different sort of elements of WWE. Overall, the show that aired first of all, which we'll get to in a moment, would you recommend that someone take an hour of their life and watch it?
Ooh, I would say you maybe don't need all of this episode, because I think early on it's still in its foundation building mode of getting the people you need to know out there, having them in pretty straightforward matches, but if you do have time, do go out of your way to watch the main event of this show.
Definitely. And that's definitely something that we're going to talk about. But obviously, if you're listening to this and you're not a ProWrestling.net member, this is an all-access audio, which means it's essentially free for everyone. But it's only a taste of what we do at ProWrestling.net each and every week. Members here, audio recapping Raw, SmackDown, NXT, Lucha Underground, 205 Live, ROH TV, and NXT UK, obviously. On top of this, you get audios from every major pay-per-view recapping the events, as well as regular shows with, like, Jason Powell's Q&A session and the flagship show, .NET Weekly, which is Jason Powell and Jake Barnett talking about the week in wrestling, along with first-run news that hasn't been reported anywhere else. To top it all off, membership also gives you ad-free access to ProWrestling.net. If you're interested in membership, visit ProWrestling.net and click on the membership info for further details. And just as a further sort of push for you to have a look at ProWrestling.net membership, for some strange reason this week, they show two episodes of NXT UK back-to-back. Now, me and Darren are going to be recording the podcast for both of them. Obviously, you're listening to the first episode, which is going to be free for everybody. But the second one is going to be behind the membership paywall, so you're going to have to pay to listen to our thoughts on that. And you're also going to have to pay, and this is a little hook, because I'm mean and horrible, but this is a hook to get you to become a member. We're also going to discuss what this actually means for NXT UK and how it's sort of reflected in the eyes of WWE at the moment. So that's a discussion that we're going to have behind the paywall. So unfortunately, you're going to have to pay. Am I really mean, Darren?
No, I don't think so. We're worthwhile paying for, and it's about time they got their wallet out.
Exactly. but this was NXT UK, which aired on the network on the 31st of October 2018. It was...
Sorry, yes, it's Halloween.
Halloween. Are we going to have to do that on the second podcast as well?
Of course we are. It's a spooktacular edition of NXT UK.
Oh, my God. I'm not even going to get into that. You've made me lose my place now. It was filmed in Cambridge, England, in July 2018. We've already given sort of Darren's given his overall thoughts on the show. I completely echo that. And what we'll do, we'll go through each event and sort of try and break down the actual show and give our sort of extended thoughts and everything. So the show actually opened with Trent Seven against Saxon Huxley. do you want to explain to ladies and gentlemen your complex relationship with Trent Seven?
Okay. Trent Seven was, and still is, actually, the owner and head booker of Fight Club Pro, which is the nearest kind of continuously running promotion to where I live. I've now actually, since the last time me and you were doing this on the regular, I've actually moved house. I'm now closer to Wolverhampton than I previously was. I'm not too thrilled about that. That's another thing for another day. And in his own promotion, he liked to book himself quite strongly. often to preposterous levels. So he beat Kevin Owens like 2 weeks before he went to NXT. He had a charity match that was going to be, you can put money on who you think is going to win the Battle Royal. And guess what? Trent Seven won. And so on and so forth. I've softened a little bit. I've not got as much vitriol as I once had for Trent Seven and all of his unoriginal ideas and kind of piggybacking on other talent. That's lessened now. And I think this match actually helped along that way. But there was a wonderful piece of commentary early on, and I think both guys actually echoed it, where they said, Trent Seven is no stranger to the main event scene. I was like, oh, Nigel, you don't know the half of it.
And just to sneak in an extra plug, if you want to hear the anger and the vitriol from Darren on Trent Seven, then get .NET membership and listen to the archives, because there's plenty of ranting from Mr. Gutteridge on previous audios. But this was actually Trent Seven defeating Saxon Hutchley and with his finisher. I didn't really enjoy this match. I thought it was okay for what it was, and Huxley was on offense for most of the match, and then Trent Seven made a comeback towards the end. But the most interesting thing for me of this was the crowd and the chanting stuff like, "Are you Jesus in disguise?" and "Hey, hey, Jesus, I want to know if you'll be my God," and things like that.
It was quite good. I mean, first of all, regarding Saxon Huxley. I keep trying to call him Saxton Huxley.
Same here.
An extra teen there. It just rolls off the tongue better. But Saxon Huxley. This is a very choice phrase from the Black Country I'm going to use now. What the hell is a muscle cat when it's at home?
A muscle cat?
That's what his nickname is. He's the muscle cat. But
he's a cat with muscles?
But what does that mean, Hayden? It's nothing. It means nothing. It's two random words put together that don't make sense. Like a wild cat. I know what that is, but I don't know what a muscle cat is. I mean, he's a big bugger, so yeah. The muscle bit works, but cat, I mean, he had tiger print trunks, I guess? I'm reaching here. I'm really reaching.
Yeah, they were kind of, I don't know, they were a bit porn star-ish.
Yeah, I get that. But I will say, this might be a bit systematic of the previous relationship with Trent Seven. I must say, I met the man in real life, seems like a very nice, genuine bloke. But I did initially reach for the fast forward button before realising, oh, wait, no, you're reviewing this, you have to watch this. And I'm doing this in my gaming room. I've got dinosaur teeth I could be playing with. I've got Lego I could be rebuilding that fell apart a bit in the move. But instead, I was like, nope, you're going to pay attention to a Trent Seven match. And I must admit, I think he's actually, this is a bit weird, but I think he's actually going to benefit from the tighter time constraints on NXT as opposed to Progress. Because it was during that, he's kind of running Progress that really kind of built up that little bit of, not hatred, but like, he would do the same spots. Yeah. In every single match. And I don't mean like signature moves or stuff like that. I mean like very choreographed and fake seeming moves. He would always chop the ring post.
Yeah.
He would always, if he was in a tag match, he would always have to do this big, long kind of comedy spot, but he was meant to be a heel. And then everything would be synchronized between him, Tyler Bates, and Pete Dunne. And it just drove me insane.
And I agree to the point that I can't even remember who it was, but I was watching a Mae Young Classic match, and one of the women did that spot with the ring post where they chopped the ring post, and I shuddered just remembering how Trent Seven used to do it all the time.
Every month on Progress, he was just chopping the ring post, and it became like hilarious. But he didn't do any of that stuff here, and I think it helped the match. Now, yeah. Don't get me wrong, it wasn't a classic. It wasn't great, but it was fine. It was better than I was expecting.
Yeah, it's basically along with the match between Tyler Bate and Wolfgang last week, I think they're just establishing that Trent and Tyler, although they are the tag team, the top tag team of the division, they're also two sort of top stars in their own right. I think that's what the points of these matches have been.
Yeah, and they had the temerity to put this in the opening match instead of the main event like they did last week. I will point out this now means, I mean, including the next episode, we've yet to have an episode of NXT UK without at least one member of British Strong Style having a match. So they're being quite reliant on that stable, which is a bit problematic, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, but that's obviously something we can discuss down the line. They then went to a Coffee Brothers video package, which I thought was really good in establishing their more aggressive persona. And then we had who is fast becoming, I think, me and you's favorite person to pick on, Radzi, who interviewed Flash Morgan Webster, and he basically asked how he felt about his match coming up in a very wooden and very cheesy way. And Flash said that he guarantees that he will take out Mark Coffey in his match. I thought this was a confident promo from Flash Morgan Webster. He's obviously used to public speaking these days because he has a podcast that he hosts every week where he interviews a lot of his fellow wrestlers. So he's obviously sort of confident behind the mic. But yeah, this is obviously the first time we'd heard from Flash in this sort of in this company. So was it anything to write home about?
I mean, it was fine, but I did write. There's one point where he says, "I'm going to do, I'm going to go out there and do what I always do," and I was like, "Land on your head."
Oh, that's harsh.
I know. I have to be nice to him. We both went to the same university, so he's an alumnus of mine. So I guess I have to be nicer. But no, it was compared to what he used to be like on the microphone. He has come on quite a bit.
Yeah. And then we saw the second match, which was Flash Morgan Webster defeating Mark Coffey, and essentially it was a roll up. And the story of the match was essentially that whenever Flash was getting some momentum going, Joe Coffey would stand on the apron to distract him and allowing his brother Mark to regain the advantage. But in the end, as I said, Flash Morgan Webster won with a roll up. Did you catch the botched spot halfway through?
Yeah, and I thought my words were going to be quite prophetic, but he smoothed it out quite, I think. He landed awkwardly, but then immediately snapped into a dropkick, and it was fine.
Yeah,
I guess so. He's covered for himself there.
I think the idea was he was going to leap off the ropes into a dropkick, but it looked like he lost his footing, and he landed. It looked like he jumped, but jumped about 2 meters in front of the corner, and then transitioned then into a dropkick. But it kind of looked bad. But we've talked before on .NET Audio about Flash Morgan Webster and you specifically have said you always get that fear whenever you're watching Flash Morgan Webster because he can be, for lack of a better term, reckless or at least overenthusiastic. Did you get that feeling at all during this match?
No, I think he's actually come on a fair bit in the last, even over the last year, I think he's ironed out quite a bit of that. Now, this wasn't him going hell for leather. And I think if it was a long 20-minute match that had a lot of hype around it, that's when mistakes might start creeping back in. But no, this was, again, another perfectly serviceable match. It's setting up Flash Morgan Webster as your underdog player on the mid card, which is a good casting for him. I think as an undersized guy, it's the best place for him to go. He's clearly got better at talking. He's got a recognizable gimmick, so it's a good place for Flash Morgan Webster. Mark Coffey, on the other hand, I genuinely think this is the first time I've ever seen Mark Coffey wrestle, and I can see why Joe Coffey is the one that gets the attention. Now, don't get me wrong, he wasn't bad in this match. No. He held up his end of the bargain fine, but
he's a powerhouse.
He's a bit more generic. I don't know. Yeah. Again, he maybe didn't have a chance to show it in this match, but every time I've seen Joe Coffey wrestle, I get it. There's something a little bit special there with Joe. And Mark didn't really show me that in this outing. I mean, we're going to be seeing him going forward. They're clearly building the Coffey brothers up to be big players in the tag team division, so we're going to have more chances to see them both wrestle, and hopefully he brings something out there. But yeah, he didn't really have a standout moment in this match.
No. But then after the bell, the Coffey brothers attacked Flash Morgan Webster, which then brought out Mark Andrews and Travis Banks, who've also had their problems with the Coffey brothers, and all three of them took them out. I do apologize. The Coffey brothers bailed instead of facing three against two odds. So yeah, they just continued to build up that feud between the five men, as it was at this point. They then went to a video package from Danny Burch, which was pretty much the same as last week's. But then they went to a video package on Sam Gradwell. What was your first thought when you saw Sam Gradwell?
He looks better than he did the last time we saw him. He had that really weird, like, Marcus Louis look from early NXT of, like, weirdly pale and bold. Like, it was just, it was not a good look. So he's kind of Sheamused up a little bit. He's got the ginger beard and the mohawk now, and it's a better look. I think he actually cut a halfway decent promo. It wasn't bad. Yeah.
It wasn't bad. It was a good way to introduce him, and I use the joke I was going to use later on, but he very much has got a Blackpool tan about him.
Yeah.
They then played a video package on Ginny, and this is the first time that we'd seen Ginny on NXT UK. And essentially, she's playing the same character as she does on the UK Indies, which is basically saying that she's beautiful, she's an icon of fashion, and she's better than you. But I did like the production value of the video on this.
Yeah, me too. It was I caught this more in the second episode, but yeah, this was a really a really good promo, because I think they've got a bit of an uphill battle compared to the men's division with the women's division, because if they're picking from a much, much smaller pool than they have for the UK guys. And because a lot of the major promotions didn't really promote women's matches until relatively recently. I mean, yeah. Progress has only been having women's matches for like the last, what, year and a half, 2 years, if that.
Despite being called Progress.
Yeah, despite being called Progress. So they're picking from a smaller pool, and I think there's evidence of the detrimental effects of that in the second episode, but I think Ginny can be a force for good in that nature. I mean, she's come on in the ring. She's still not fantastic. She's not going to be winning any Match of the Year awards anytime soon, but she can get along on her very, very strong character work.
You'll be surprised. Her ability has gone a lot better. I'm segueing quite dramatically here, but there was a Progress main event between her and Toni Storm. I can't even remember when it was. I want to say it was May or June, and it was fantastic. It's up there as one of my favorite independent matches of the year.
Wow, well, I will reserve judgment until she's...
And you know my thoughts on Ginny previously.
I do know your thoughts on Ginny, so again, I will reserve judgment until we see her in the ring. In, I think, a few weeks' time, they're hyping her pretty strong, so I don't imagine it'll be long before we see her.
Not definitely. We then went into the third match of the night, which was Danny Burch against Sam Gradwell. We knew instantly that Gradwell was going to be playing the heel. He was gesturing towards the crowd, and he was trying to get a negative reaction. Danny Burch came out and got a great reaction. And this was Danny Burch defeating Sam Gradwell. This again had some really cool chants from the crowd, like "You look stupid," to Gradwell, and sort of what you've already indicated was "Are you Sheamus in disguise?" I actually thought he looked more like Jamie Vardy, to be quite honest.
Yep, that's a joke that most Americans aren't going to get, but yes, I concur.
But this was a very hard-hitting match. It was Danny Burch winning with a DDT from the essentially draping Gradwell over the top rope and hitting a DDT. But this was the most hard-hitting match that we've seen on NXT UK. You know, if you want to go British strong style terminology, this was a good example of it.
I mean, first of all, you can tell which one of these lads lives in Florida.
Yeah, that's when I was going to use my Blackpool tanjo, which is why I skipped over it.
Sorry about that. Whoever made the call made a smart decision to kind of change up the style a little bit. I think if they had gone with a bit more of a traditional wrestling match, it would have been a bridge too far, because we've just had two of those previously in quite short matches. I think my attention would have started to wane if we had three on the bounce. So mixing it up with the strikes and making it more hard hitting, I think it helped it stand out quite a bit. And I was a big fan of the promo that Danny Burch went on to cut.
Definitely, and Radzi was the actual instigator of the promo. He came into the ring, and with his wooden, cheesy accent, he went, "What a performance that was! You must be delighted."
How are you feeling?
And then, how are you feeling? That's his gimmick, his catchphrase. I'm gonna get him a t-shirt with a Blue Peter badge and "How are you feeling" written on it. But yeah, this is basically Burch and saying that he was happy to be back in the UK. He said, "No matter what, this will always be home." Thankfully, he took the mic from Radzi, and he said it means so much to him because he carried the flag for 15 years. He said he has earned the respect of every locker room he's ever been in. The crowd chanted, Birch is coming home, which was far more appropriate than the England fans chanting it when they failed at the World Cup.
Hey, it still hurts.
I'm sorry.
Still fresh.
And again, probably a joke that most people listening won't get.
No, probably not, but they also might not know that you weren't there at all, so at least we had a chance.
Yeah, we were at home enjoying watching the English cry.
Moving on.
He said, our NXT UK locker room, and played up the whole, this is our promotion, etc. He said, it's not about respect anymore, it's about getting someone's attention, and that someone is Pete Dunne. He said he was British strong style while Pete Dunne was in nappies with snot coming down his face. He said he won't be difficult to find. He'll be in the locker room saying, come and have a go if you think you're hard enough. Yeah, I really like this. This is the most impressed I've ever been with Danny Birch.
I think if you actually write down word for word what was said here on a piece of paper, it actually wasn't all that groundbreaking a promo. It was actually quite generic and had quite a few cliche line in there, but the delivery was just so intense and passionate that it carried it over the line. It was another example of Danny Birch really benefiting from NXT polishing on the promo skills. Another Neville case in the waiting, I think, because he wasn't previously this good and now he can cut this level of promo. So it's good news because I think they're lacking strong talkers on NXT UK at the moment. They haven't got really. I can't really think of anybody. I mean, Trent can do a good job, and then outside of, and we've seen Eddie Dennis in his backstage capacity as well do a good job, but they're kind of lacking. This is again not to keep plugging the second episode. There is a big highlight of this next week when we get to see Pete Dunne and Danny Birch in very similar conditions, and you will see the difference between the two.
Yeah, and to an earlier point, I also think the crowd helped this a lot because if you had, again to your point, if you had this written down word for word and Danny Birch delivered it in exactly the same way in front of a crowd who didn't really care about him, it wouldn't have worked either. It was a nice combination of a fantastic delivery and a fantastic atmosphere of the crowd sort of really building up. This was really, really impressive.
It was, and I think he's a logical choice to take on Pete Dunne short term. In terms of parachuting in the more recognisable names from NXT, this makes the most sense whilst they kind of build up a challenger, a more credible challenger to Pete Dunne's title. Because I don't think any of us are expecting Danny Birch to take the title off of Pete Dunne. I think short term this benefits because then long term they have time to build from within a more credible challenger for Pete Dunne.
Exactly. We then went to the backstage where we saw Noam Dar warming up for his main event match against Zach Gibson. I got distracted by a sort of mural of Rick Mayall and Aid Edmondson to the side of him, but that's another story for another day. They then had a Jordan Devlin video package. Was it just me or was the music too loud and it was drowning out what what he was trying to say?
That may have actually been a benefit because, good God, this was a dry promo.
Yeah. It was. I think they were trying to go for an arrogant persona, but it kind of just fell a bit flat. It was just...
Yeah. This was a Sahara Desert. It was so dry. God, it was burnt toast. It was just, oh, no.
And following the description of the Sahara, which is hot, we then went to a hot main event.
Your segue game has improved, huh?
I know. I did notice that before the main event, it was 25 minutes to go, so I was thinking, oh, okay, we're going to get a match and then something afterwards. No. This was 25 minutes of a terrific main event. This was Zach Gibson defeating Noam Dar. Where do I even start with this, Darren?
I'm going to point out one early criticism I had.
Okay, thank you.
sorry, I will just real quickly point out something. So obviously the crowd were hot all the way through this, and I'll talk about that a bit more later, but I think Nigel McGuinness actually did a bit of the old Ring of Honor Nigel McGuinness came out, and I think he kind of McGuinnessed Zach Gibson a little bit because... I can never remember his name. The other guy on commentary, name is Vic Joseph. Sorry, Vic, I do like you. But he asked, like, why do the fans boo Zach Gibson so
much? I know
where
you're going with this.
And McGuinness being McGuinness said, well, you know, it's largely because of the part of the country he's from. You know, he's from the working class Liverpool. We're in the middle to high class Cambridge. It's a culture clash. And I'm like, Nigel, that is true.
To a degree.
And but this thing, I think kind of just framing it as it's just regionalistic hate towards Zach Gibson kind of undermines the really good promo and heel work that Zach Gibson does.
Yeah.
If it just makes it seem out to be xenophobia, it kind of belittles everything else that comes with Zach Gibson's game. Don't get me wrong, that's a big part of it. And
initially, though, that's the initial sort of thoughts of a fan is like, he's from Liverpool, he's a Scouser, I'm going to boo him. But then it's the terrific facials, it's the terrific sort of gestures towards the crowd, it's the terrific promos, as you said. That is what keeps people booing him the duration of the match.
Exactly. You know, this isn't like Tiger Ali Singh coming out at the old UK pay-per-views and just shouting like racism at the crowd and then being booed. It's not that. He gets him through the door with that, and that's a basis, and it goes all the way through his work. But there's just so much more to it than that. And I think that kind of cheapens Zach Gibson a little bit. But thankfully, it doesn't really matter, because if he's pulling matches like this out, it's not going to be an issue.
It was a very good match. It started off not necessarily slow, but it was a bit of sort of to and fro in. And when the crowd started chanting, "Shoes off if you hate Gibson," Noam Dar sort of cheekily tried to take his shoe off to demonstrate that he was with the crowd. And they are really playing up this whole thing about Zach Gibson saying that it's the crowd trying to put him off, that, you know, makes him take his eye off the ball slightly. And It's working quite well, but I still don't know how to describe this entire match, because it was 25 minutes of just pure back and forth, really good action. The ending basically came. They had a big spot where Gibson threw Noam Dar onto the ramp, which drew a holy expletive from the crowd. They then went into a mode of Noam Dar just basically looking like he was completely out for the count, and Zach Gibson just did a terrific heel job of mocking him and sort of slapping him across the head and sort of offering to give him a free shot and things like that. And eventually Noam Dar came back. Noam Dar had been focusing on the left ankle of Zach Gibson during the early part of the match, and that came into play at this point when he made his comeback. He applied an ankle lock, and it looked like Zach Gibson couldn't do anything about it. Crowd was going mental, but Gibson came out of it and eventually hit his helter-skelter finisher and got the win. Is Noam Dar the MVP so far of NXT UK?
You'd have to say so, because he's been in the best two matches so far. And that's really saying something, because, I mean, don't get me wrong, I think this was better than the Pete Dunne match.
Yes.
I'm not trying to belittle the Pete Dunne match, but I think this was the best match we've seen in NXT UK so far. But yeah, he's been great since he's come back from injury in basically every match I've seen him in, even the shorter ones he was having on 205 Live. He's just so, like, he's so capable of getting his charisma across quickly. And even though his mannerisms aren't like traditional babyface, he's quite cocky and arrogant. It kind of worked in the way that it worked when Dolph Ziggler was a hot babyface. In that, yes, he's showing off and being quite cheeky, but you just kind of go along for the ride. And yeah, in the ring, he's definitely been the MVP so far.
Definitely. And what was your overall thoughts of the match itself? You know, I know you said it was fantastic, but was there any particular moments that you think the people listening, if they decide to go and have a watch of this on the network, that they should really be looking out for?
Well, I just think they told a really strong story all the way through. I think it played to both men's strengths. Noam Dar was able to show off his technical skills and the speed and the high flying when it called for it. Zach Gibson showed off his technical side and the kind of brutality. They worked two different body parts, which both played into the final sequence, which was, again, smart psychology. I think The one thing that was kind of, I went back and forth on this, was the fans. Now, early on, I think that this kind of like real vitriol everyone has for Zach Gibson is like the most overheel in the UK, bar none.
Yeah.
And the kind of constant Vicky Guerrero levels of just constant booing is both a help and a hindrance sometimes. So it helps a lot early on to get that big fight feel going that everyone's cheering, and Noam Dar egging them on by pretending to take his shoe off and then trying to take Zach Gibson's shoe off worked really well. And I think when Gibson is on top during that kind of middle slog when the heel's usually in control, it helps keep it entertaining because a lot of lesser heels can kind of make your attention wane during that part when they're, you know, building up a head of steam. It's a lot of rest holds. It's a lot of working over a body part. The chanting really helps there. Where I think it hinders is that when Noam Dar was making his comeback later on, they were still entirely just wrapped up in chanting about Zach Gibson and take your shoes off and stand up. And they weren't reacting to Noam Dar whatsoever. That was quite problematic, I think. And not, I wouldn't say it verges on disrespectful, but I could see why some people would have that opinion of just like they're putting on a really good match here and you're just entertaining yourselves. This isn't the time to be doing that. Your baby face is on the way back. Yeah. However, I think the real mark of this match being as good as it was once they did the spot on the outside where Gibson suplexed Noam Dar into the ramp and they had a really close nine count for Dar to get back into the ring.
Meant to mention that, sorry.
Yeah. Past that point, there was no issues from the fans. They were completely into Noam Dar. They really wanted to see him win, and they reacted accordingly for everything past that point, up until really booing their hell out of Zach Gibson when he won. So that's probably the best mark I can say about this match is that they managed to get you could go to any WWE show you like. If the crowd hijacks the match, like they kind of do here. I know Zach Gibson's kind of weaponized that to his advantage, which is really, really smart of him. Mm-hmm. A match, I can't see many main roster crowds that have got this hostile being won round by such a good match.
No, definitely. And I can't emphasize enough that how much I enjoyed this match. This made me remember why I've absolutely adored the UK independent scene for as long as I have. It did really give me a nice sort of ending to this show. It was definitely as we've said, and as you can probably tell, it's something that we both recommend that you go back and watch. So that's basically the overall show. Is there anything I've missed out, Dan, that you wanted to cover?
No, not really. Like I said, early on, there was a lot of foundations being built. They've got to establish Trent Seven. They've got to establish Danny Burch. They've got to establish the Coffey Brothers, Flash Morgan Webster. That part was more functional than it was really entertaining. And early on, that's going to happen. And when they need to filter new characters in, that will return down the line. But hopefully that main event is kind of indicative of what we're going to be seeing going forward. Because the unfortunate truth is the UK scene has been built on big monthly shows, mm-hmm. which means every match can have a lot of stuff going for it. It's all storyline. It's all a lot of hype. And it means everything means something. When you switch to weekly TV, the brutal honest fact is not every match can mean everything. Yeah. And that was going to be a little bit of a problem in terms of people maybe tuning in, expecting every match to be a big deal. I think main events like this are going to reassure viewers, new time viewers to the UK product, that really good matches are going to be here. Maybe not every single week, but I mean, we've only had four episodes and already we've seen two great main events. That's not bad form at all.
Not at all. And I think there's a very important point you made as well, the fact that they are still in the building mode. They are still trying to sort of build the foundations of who is the top acts and who is the glorified enhancement people. That was easy for me to say. And you know, if you watch it and you know, it's still on the slow build up at the moment, but it's only because they are trying to develop the character. They're trying to sort of present new people to people who've never watched this, the more casual fans who've never seen these people before. So there's a lot of building at the moment, and I do think they're doing a good job between the matches that they're putting on and also the video packages. They've got a nice balance of that at the moment. The first 2 weeks it was a bit hit and miss, but I think the third and especially the fourth one, I think they've episodes, I think they have started to strike the right balance. But that's going to do it for us for this week on All Access. As I said, we're going to be doing a second podcast about the fourth episode, which you can find if you become a member of the ProWrestling.net universe. Yes, I went there, the ProWrestling.net universe. But we're going to get out of here. But before we do, Darren, do you have anything to plug?
Yeah, you can go and follow me on Twitter at TheGutrude. You can also go check out my website, failentertainment.com. That's fell spelled
F-O-U-L.
Entertainment.com. Not a lot going on there at the moment, it must be said, but you can go listen to all the archive stuff, and we're gearing up to basically relaunch the site come the end of the year.
Excellent. And you can find me at Hayden Gleed. Nothing else to plug other than to say join .net membership and check out the follow-up audio. But if we don't speak to you soon, then we'll be back on All Access at some point. So have a good week, everyone.